The United Nations University has an institute in Malaysia which is focused on global health. Now, they've become increasingly concerned about environmental change and its impact on the way we live and how healthy we are. I spoke with the institute's director, Anthony Kaplan. He started out by explaining what impact climate change has on human health.
Climate change has both direct and indirect impacts on health, and perhaps the direct ones are the most readily understandable. If we have a very extreme weather event like the super typhoon Haiyan in the Philippines last year, this has a range of impacts on health. Clearly, many people can die and did die in such an extreme weather event, and many others are displaced, and there's impact on crops and livelihoods, and there are flow-on impacts for both physical and mental health and well-being.
Can you give me an example of that?
If you're a farmer, for example, and you might be growing a crop of bananas, and in a typhoon like that, that crop may be wiped out, and so you have no income for quite a substantial period until you can re-establish those crops and they grow to maturity.
So what you're talking about, and I know that Haiyan is a tricky topic because it's not yet clearly established what the climate change connection is, but we are seeing that extreme weather is having an impact that is completely, it is destroying entire communities because of the economic impact, the social impact. A slightly trickier place to see direct impact is biodiversity, and you're looking at climate change, biodiversity loss, and urbanization. I'd be interested in how biodiversity loss impacts human health.
Biodiversity is fundamentally important for our food supply and for our nutrition and health. In parts of the world where we're losing our forests, and partly often because we are converting forest land to agricultural production, in some areas we're also seeing that this is leading to the desertification of those areas in the long term. And so while initially when we remove the forests and we grow food, things go well for a time, ultimately we may lose the productive land, and this will affect our capacity to grow food.
Something I'm really interested in is how you're looking at cities. Cities are booming all over the world. There's a mass migration away from rural areas and into urbanized spaces. And you're hoping to also examine how urbanization is affecting human health. Can you give me an example?
For many people, living in cities provides opportunities for education, for a good job, a well-paid job, and for cultural and social exchange. However, there are also downsides to living in cities. One example here in Asia is the health risks of air pollution. As cities grow, and indeed as the number of motor cars in cities grow, then there is risk to human health from that motor vehicle pollution.
I know that you're in Kuala Lumpur. What are you seeing there?
Here in Kuala Lumpur, there are a lot of motor cars. The government has now got a program of building a mass transit system, and that's being rolled out over time. But at the moment, the city is not fully served by that mass transit system. So many people are spending a lot of time in traffic congestion. There's rising air pollution levels, depending on the climatic conditions on a given day. And also, sitting in cars and using cars to move around is a very sedentary way of living. So this has connections across to the obesity epidemic, which is a huge global health challenge now.
You mentioned earlier in the interview that there's something called transboundary pollution. Now, if we're producing lots of heat and we're producing lots of fumes and pollution doesn't pay attention to national boundaries, what are you seeing happening in Asia?
With the industrialization across Asia now, we've got a variety of sources of air pollution. We've got pollution directly from the factories. We've got pollution from coal-fired power stations. We've got pollution from motor cars. And we've also got pollution from forest fires, where our tropical forests are being burnt to be replaced by crops. So we've got multiple sources. And at certain times of year here in Malaysia, there is a haze, and in other parts of Asia, there is a haze all year round.
Has it created any kind of tension between countries?
Well, indeed, there's lots of potential for tension between countries because some countries are actively trying to tackle pollution within their national boundaries, and they're making good progress on that, whereas others are less far down the development pathway, and they're putting folk at risk beyond the national boundaries. It's a critical issue for us all now.
My last question for you is about leadership and city building in Asia. Are we seeing any emerging leaders?
One good example is Singapore. Since the 1970s, Singapore has made enormous progress in housing, in urban transport, and in urban greening. Parallel with that, we've seen improvements in health. So it's a very interesting case study. There's been hundreds of thousands of new housing units built, mostly apartments, and they're being built in ways that are good for health. They're well insulated. There's opportunities for physical activity in the context of the building, and they're age-friendly as people age throughout the life course. At the same time, the Singapore government's being very careful to ensure that the housing is as low carbon as possible. They're making similar progress on mass transit. Singapore is now almost fully served by a high-speed mass transit system, and there's a relatively small number of motor cars on the roads of Singapore. And the government indeed makes motoring expensive to try and reduce motor car use.